Chapter 47. Wise Words Teaching Purity of Spirit in Contemplative Prayer and the Difference Between Showing Our Desire to God and to Others. Don't be surprised that I speak in somewhat like a childish and foolish way, as if I am lacking in sense, for I have my reasons. For some time now, I have been led to feel, think, and speak in this way to some other special friends in God, and now to you. Here's one reason that you should hide the longing of your heart from God. He sees the yearnings that you hide more clearly than what you bear, and your desire is fulfilled more quickly. There is no better way of showing him what you want. Here's another reason I believe this approach works. Learning to conceal what you wish revealed will wean you from a dependency on your fragile, fickle human emotions and deepen the purity of your spiritual awareness. Finally, this way helps you tie the spiritual knot of burning love between you and God in a mystical oneness of wills. You are well aware that God is spirit, so the person who wants to be united with him must have a profound sincerity of spirit without pretense. It is true that God is omniscient, and nothing physical or spiritual can be hidden from his mind. But because God is spirit, the most obvious open petition is whatever lies hidden in the depths of your spirit, rather than anything emotional or otherwise tainted by the senses. He has an affinity with our souls, so when we panic and get stressed, straining our emotions and our bodies, we are not close to God. We're much better off when we devote ourselves to finding joy in the work of contemplative prayer and practicing it serenely, with purity and deep wisdom. I hope my explanation helps you understand why I am asking you to cover and hide the longing of your heart from God, like a child playing a game. I am not, however, asking you to hide it completely. Only an idiot would ask you to do that, because it's impossible. But I am still saying, try your best. Do all that you can to hide from God. Why do I ask you this? I want you to cast your longing deep in your spirit, far from anything corrupt, which would make it less spiritual and further from God. I know that as your soul grows in purity of spirit, your desires become less emotional and your soul draws nearer to God. And as your soul pleases him more, he can see it more clearly. I am not saying that God sees better sometimes than others, for his vision is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But your soul resembles God more when it is pure in spirit, because God is spirit. I have one more reason for asking you to do all that you can to conceal your desire from God. You and I, plus many others like us, are prone to literal interpretations of spiritual realities. I was afraid that if I asked you to show your heart's desire to God, you might understand this physically and try articulating it with a look, an intonation, a word, a gesture, or some other human way, as you do when sharing your most intimate thoughts with a friend here on earth. But that approach would only make your contemplative work worldly, for we reveal confidences to our human friends one way, But when we show them to God, we must take a totally different approach. Chapter 48, How God Wants You to Serve Him Physically and Spiritually, How He Rewards You Both, and How He Helps You Discern Between Good and Evil Spiritual Delights During Contemplation. I am not trying to discourage you from praying aloud. I do not want you to feel that you cannot burst into words when your spirit feels to overflowing, and you're moved to talk to God as you would to a friend. Saying things like, "Good Jesus," "Lovely Jesus," "Sweet Jesus," and others. No, God forbid you understand me to mean that. That's not at all what I intend. And God forbid that it ever attempt to separate body and spirit, which God has joined together. Both serve Him, as is right, and both are rewarded too. Sometimes He gives His friends a foretaste of that eternal reward. He may set their senses on fire, not just once or twice in this life, but sometimes quite often, whenever He wishes. When this happens, they feel an ineffable sweetness and an intense delight. Their pleasure does not come from outside the body, entering through the windows of our intellect. It comes from within, waking in our souls and bubbling up from an abundance of joy and true devotion of spirit. There is no need to be suspicious of this comfort and this delight. Once you've experienced it, I think you will understand what I am saying. But mistrust all other consolations, sounds, gladness, and sweet ecstasies that come suddenly and externally from sources that you can't identify. They can be good or evil. If they're good, they are the work of a good angel. And if they're evil, they are the work of an evil angel. The spiritual delights that you experience will never be evil as long as you remember what I have taught you and follow my teaching. Or if you can find better instruction on this point, follow it. Avoid the devil's deceptive, false way of thinking and undisciplined, excessive straining of body and soul. Why? Because then the source of your comfort is certain. It will be that devout stirring of love making its home in the pure heart created by the hand of Almighty God without any intermediary. So it exists far from every illusion and untrustworthy opinion humans can hold. Right now, I will not cover how you can distinguish whether the other consolations, sounds, and delights are good or evil. I don't think it's necessary, since you can find that outlined for you in another man's book, where it's described 1,000 times better than I ever could. His work is much better than anything that I have written. But what does that matter? I write what I write anyway, for I want to discuss the discipline of contemplation with you. It's no trouble for me to answer the longings and questions of your heart, which you first made clear in your words and now make evident in your actions. But I will say this to you, about the harmonies and pleasures that come in by the windows of your intellect and may be good or may be evil. Always exercise yourself in this blind, heartfelt, joyful longing of love that is contemplation, and I have no doubt that it will tell you all about them and teach you to distinguish which is which. If you're somewhat astonished at first by these strange and unfamiliar spiritual delights, Contemplative prayer will help you with them because it binds your heart and keeps you calm, giving you the presence of mind to wait. You will not endorse these until they've been fully approved, either from within by God's wonderful Spirit or from without on the advice of some discerning spiritual mentor. Chapter 49, that the essence of all perfection is nothing but a good will, and how every possible comfort in this life is non-essential. So I encourage you, how eagerly to love. Follow its humble stirrings in your heart. Let it guide you in this life, and it will bring you safely to eternal bliss in the next. Love is the essence of all goodness. Without it, no kind work is ever begun or finished. Simply put, love is a good will in harmony with God. When you have it, you get supreme satisfaction and joy from everything that He does. This goodwill is the essence of every perfection. The delights and the consolations of body and soul, no matter how holy, are incidental to this goodwill and dependent on it. I call them incidental because they're non-essential. Their absence or presence does not affect love. In this life, we can live without them, but in eternity, they are indivisible from our joy, just as the body will be totally united with the soul then. Here on earth, we know these consolations spiritually, in the goodness of our will and in the joy that it brings us. I am equally certain that the mature contemplative who has perfected his or her will as far as is possible here on earth is just as happy to do without worldly delights and consolations as to have them, if that's what God wants.